Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much. The Irish cannot have their cake and eat it. They wanted an open border and they have an open border. Those are the words of David Jones, who's a British MP and former cabinet minister on that row between British and Irish ministers about the flow of migrants here across the border. The row looks set to escalate because, as you've been hearing, the scheduled meeting between the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, and the British Home Secretary, James Cleverly, was postponed late yesterday by the British side. In a moment, we'll hear from Donnacha O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central. But first, I'm joined on the line by Mark Paul, London correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Claire.
So James Cleverly pulls out of the meeting with Helen McEntee because of a diary clash, they say. We hear this morning Helen McEntee isn't going to the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference, which was scheduled for today. Now, the Taoiseach is going. It does seem a bit tit for tat, though, doesn't it? Bitter and petty, perhaps?
It does. I mean, following the Windsor Framework and Brexit, it seemed that relations had thawed a little bit between the British and Irish governments. But there was a little bit of a chill wind blowing through it again this morning. I mean, it was, you know, Helen McEntee would have been expected to have been there at a press conference on 100 Parliament Street in Whitehall at around 1 o'clock today. She won't be there. Micheál Martin will be on his own. I mean, all of this is catnip to a certain extent to certain elements of the British Tory party and also of the kind of the Tory aligned press in London who see this as another opportunity to reopen old Brexit wounds. And also for the British government and for Rishi Sunak in particular to act strong on Rwanda. You know, this row is really plays into domestically for him, for domestic political reasons. It's really a good thing for him because it allows him to point to his Rwanda deal and say to his critics, his internal critics in Britain, look, it is a deterrent. It's working. It's already causing problems for the Irish.
Because he hasn't managed to stop the boats, but he may be able to say, well, they might be coming here, but they're leaving pretty quickly and going elsewhere.
Yes, I mean, his big argument is that once the deal gets completely up and running and once the whole Rwanda regime is up and running, that it'll act as a deterrent to the boats. And that word deterrent is really, really important to him. And if he can point to a deterrent effect happening already, it gives him a better argument to make to the British people in the aftermath of the local elections and the run up to the general election. But it also, I mean, you know, it might work also in practice. I mean, if it really is acting as a deterrent, if it is the real reason why asylum numbers in Ireland are creeping up, well, then maybe there is a real deterrent aspect to it. And to a certain point of view, you know, his system that he has drawn up around Rwanda, there might be some weight to it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out after tomorrow, because we had Jack Chambers, Minister of State, in here saying, expected, that Helen McEntee is going to come to Cabinet tomorrow with this plan, legislation to fix this problem that the government now currently has, where they can't send people back to the UK because of the threat of them being sent on to Rwanda. Now, if that happens and if the Irish government manages to solve this problem, that will present a new issue in this row.
It will. I mean, there's another overlapping problem here, which is that Britain wants its own returns deal with France. And British government sources are briefing behind the scenes that, look, we're not going to take refugees back from Ireland if France won't take them back from us. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not Ireland's emergency legislation, if and when that's passed, if that does lead to returns. And then there is also the question that the border between the North and the Republic is an open border. So refugees might flow over anyway, regardless of any returns agreement. There's a wider Brexit-related row going on here in the background. There's tension between Britain and France because France won't accept migrants back from Britain. So Britain are turning around and saying, well, look, we're not going to accept them from Ireland.
So rather than having this de-escalated in the coming days, this could become a wider row between Britain and the EU, and it's all back to Brexit, essentially.
It is. And look, I take with a pinch of salt, I suppose, the British explanation that there was a scheduled diary clash for the reason why they pulled out of the Helen McEntee meeting. I think by pulling out, it's allowed them to stoke up the drama a little bit. I mean, as an aside about James Cleverly's diary, I mean, I was at a lunch last week with the press gallery that James Cleverly attended at about 4 or 5 hours notice. Because Jeremy Hunt pulled out of it. So I think when James Cleverley's diary needs to be adjusted, he can adjust it, as he proved last week with that press gallery lunch. So to say that he had a long-standing agreement, I mean, I would take that with a pinch of salt. But also, Helen McEntee's absence in London today, I think, is possibly Ireland's response to that. I mean, it's very, very surprising that she's over there. I know the Irish government is saying that she's going to meet some of her officials in Dublin, but actually a lot of her officials are over here in London attending this meeting that she's not at.
Okay, that in itself is interesting too. And how are the press portraying all of this over there?
Well, the press that would be aligned to the Tory party, I suppose you call them the right-wing press, the Telegraph, the Express, so on, even the Times. I mean, look, they're portraying this as Ireland, and the headline of the Times today was Ireland is tying itself in knots over immigration. And they're saying, look, you wanted an open border, you've gotten an open border, and this proves that there's some meat in the Rwanda deal. So it's being played up gleefully, I should say, by the Tory party. It points to their strength. It has Rishi Sunak talking about something that he thinks he's strong on, which is migration in Rwanda, and they're happy to play up this row with the Irish government, and it really suits domestic British Tory party priorities at the moment.
Something else I wanted to ask you about, because it's in the report in The Guardian today, that the Home Office is going to launch this major operation to detain asylum seekers across the UK, so refugees who are turning up for routine meetings at immigration offices, or if they're arriving at police stations, if that's the arrangement, for weekly checks. They could be transferred now to detention centres ahead of the Rwanda flights starting.
Yes, the Rwanda flights are expected to start sometime in July. Rishi Sunak held a press conference, I think it was last Monday I was at it, and he announced at that press conference that it would take 10 to 12 weeks to get planes off the ground. And he suggested at that press conference that they would start a round of people, but he gave no indication that it would happen so quickly. But he did say they had detention facilities available, they've hired staff, they've got detention units and staff trained to round up refugees and to send them off to Rwanda. So it looks like perhaps they're going to start that programme early. And again, that allows them to build up the noise around this. And you've got to factor into all of this as well that there are local elections this week in Britain, which are going to go very, very badly for the Tory party. So all of this is kind of them. It allows them to bathe their wounds before the wounds happen, I think, this week.
Well, given that political imperative is there for the Tories in the coming days, I mean, the Irish government reacting really might be questionable here.
Yes, well, there is another school of thought over here in Britain, which is that, you know, the Irish government are trying to deflect from their own migration failures, that the reason why the Irish migration system is under pressure is because of Irish failures, and that it's easy from an Irish point of view to blame the British and when there's problems. So in effect, I think, you know, a political cynic might say maybe a row here suits all sides for domestic political reasons. The Irish government gets to blame the British and the British get to play up a row with the EU and point at their strength on Rwanda. So I think there's, as well as migration policy and real operational detail here, there's a lot of politics going on both sides of the Irish Sea.
Mark, stay with us because I have Donnacha O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central. Do you think that a row suits all sides here, Donnacha?
No, I don't necessarily think that is the case. I think it probably suits the British government, and I think Mark correctly makes the point in relation to the local elections coming up this week. Obviously, the Conservative Party is not polling very well, so there will be an element of big talk in a week such as that, and I think you can see that very clearly. I think that the Taoiseach's remarks last week were careless. I think they played into that, and I think that was an error. I think ultimately, what is our political objective here as a state? And that is to ensure that it is possible to return people who have applied for asylum in another country, whose application here would therefore not be valid, to return them. And that is a reasonable political objective. I think we need to get to that. The legislation, the flaw in that, I suppose, was discovered a couple of weeks ago in the High Court. The most important thing now, from an Irish point of view, is to control what it can control. And the thing that it can control, first of all, is it should appeal the decision. That is vitally important because it isn't necessarily the case that, that the Supreme Court would find the same way. And I think the principles in question are important, but the legislation needs to be expedited as soon as possible.
Well, Jack Chambers didn't suggest that this was going to be done through the courts. He just suggested this was going to be done with legislation brought to Cabinet tomorrow.
Well, precisely so, yeah. Precisely so.
It will be appealed again, is what you're saying.
Oh, it should be. Absolutely, it should be appealed because I think the principles in question. Now, we cannot wait for the Supreme Court to hear that. That could take some time. So a legislative fix is absolutely necessary. But we also need to ensure that the legislation is good enough that it can withstand further challenge. Mm-hmm. I think that that's crucially important and we need to examine that.
Tell me, what do you think was Micheál Martin's mistake? I mean, was he not just stating fact that people are coming to Ireland because they fear the threat of the Rwanda policy in the UK?
I think you only had to look at the front page of the Daily Telegraph and the Express to understand perhaps what the mistake was. It was a gift to the Conservative Party at a time that they're under pressure and allowed them to play up a row both with Ireland and the EU. And I think that that was an error on his part. That is done now. What we need to do is resolve it. And as far as Sinn Féin is concerned, legislation is needed. The decision should be appealed, absolutely. But legislation is needed. You know, we need to have a situation where it is possible for Ireland to return people who have applied for asylum in Britain, to return them because their application here would not be valid. Mm-hmm. I think it is possible to get to that situation. Legislation in the short term is needed. It needs to be robust legislation. I would also make the point that this does underline the fact that, you know, we have a land border. While there is a common travel area, it is important for us to have flexibility in our dealings with Britain, and that the migration compact, which will be enforceable and which will include fines in several respects, will restrict us and will be binding upon us. And I think that the Minister and the Government should reflect on that in the context of this latest difficulty.
Well, let's look again at what David Jones said, that Conservative MP. The Irish can't have their cake and eat it. They wanted an open border and they have an open border.
Look, I'm sure lots of Conservative MPs will say lots of things, but, you know...
But we didn't think about this in all of the Brexit negotiations. We didn't consider this issue. It was never really close to the top of the agenda, was it?
Whether you have a hard border, a soft border, an open border, a middling border, you still have to have a policy in terms of returns where somebody has applied for asylum in one jurisdiction and they then seek to apply for asylum in another jurisdiction. That is the case, whatever the outcome of Brexit might have been. And Brexit could have had an extremely damaging impact on Ireland in terms of society and economy, and I would say we're not out of the woods yet by any manner or means in relation to that. But whatever type of border would exist in Ireland, and obviously, as you will well know, I would prefer that there was no border at all.
Yeah. So what you're saying to the government is you just need to fix this problem so that people who are coming here from the UK claiming asylum need to be sent back, and we can do that legitimately.
Well, the first problem arose here because of a High Court decision. So that needs to be appealed. But legislation is within the power of the Irish government. And there's going to be a lot of noise and there's going to be a lot of messing probably over the next week or so. What can the Irish government control? It can control its own legislation that the High Court found flawed. That needs to be done absolutely urgently. It needs to be done as quickly as possible. But it also needs to ensure that that it is robust in terms of any future legal challenge, because we don't want to end up the same route in several months again.
And Donnacha, can I ask you, do you think Helen McEntee was right to pull out of the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference today? I mean, it would seem that that's a reaction to being snubbed by James Cleverly.
Yeah, again, I don't think I agree with that, to be honest, because I think I don't think we should be seeking to escalate the situation. As I say, you know, if the Conservative Party want a row, then that's their prerogative. But from the Irish government's point of view, the focus should be on resolving the issues that existed in Irish legislation. These are flaws in Irish legislation found by the High Court. So the urgent priority needs to be fix the legislation, get the Irish law back onto a stable position to ensure that returns can happen.
So you think she should have gone to that meeting today?
I think, yeah, and the opportunity that would exist in terms of raising these issues, because there are diplomatic elements to them and so on. Yes, I think that would have been, I don't think that there should have been an effort to try and add fuel to the fire. But in any event, the priority needs to be at legislation, bringing this legislation through as quickly as possible. We will work with government on this, but it needs to happen quickly and it needs to be robust for future challenges.
But if the Irish government really wanted to add fuel to the fire, they wouldn't have sent Micheál Martin to that meeting. He is going. So anything that, you know, can be done will be done surely by him being there.
Well, look, I mean, I think he was going in any event. And I think if there was a change in plans, then obviously it's a response to whatever decisions the British government took. And to some extent, I don't think these are the key issues. I think they are much of interest to the media, particularly in Britain, and again they will very much enjoy demonstrating this as a big row. Our focus as
immigration is a huge issue for voters in this country. It's of concern to most people who are going out to vote.
I think, Claire, to be fair now, I don't think I said anything even a first cousin of that, to the contrary of that. I think what I said was the Irish government should seek to control what it can control. And there's no doubt but that this is a significant issue. What can it control is the legislation, and that should be the key priority here. There will be an element of, I think we cannot dismiss the fact that the possibility that the consequences of this could be significant by any manner or means. But I do think to some extent we should be aware of the political climate that exists in Britain. So the focus needs to be on the legislation. But I would again make the point that, you know, this does demonstrate the fact that Ireland, in the unique set of circumstances that it has, does need flexibility. We are in a unique position in the ability to opt out of parts of the migration compact. And I think the Minister and the Taoiseach would do well to reflect on the need for future flexibility in some areas.
Okay, migration. You're talking about the EU migration pact there, but I'm just interested to hear what you think. If a fix cannot be found, I mean, the court has clearly said you can't send people back to a country where they will then be put on a plane to a place that we deem unsafe. How is that fixed through legislation?
Because I think the key point was that the Irish courts found that the legislation was acting ultra vires, beyond the powers of EU law, and that it needed to transpose in domestic legislation a part of a particular directive, and that wasn't done cleanly or completely enough.
So you seem absolutely sure that this can be done, that we will be in a position, if this legislation is enacted, to send people back to the UK where they might be sent on then to Rwanda?
It's my understanding, yeah. As the judgment that was laid out, I think it is a piece of legislation that is possible to bring, that is possible to resolve. And from Sinn Féin's point of view, what we will be focusing on is this passes through the houses. And obviously, if it, you know, we would like to be in a position to support it if it does resolve the issue. But obviously, we need to examine it. But what's crucial is that not only does it resolve the issue for now, but that it's robust, that it withstands future legal challenges. But mm-hmm. It is absolutely within the gift of the Irish government to bring legislation forward to resolve this. There may be diplomatic and political elements to this over the course of time. We will have to monitor that. But this needs to be an urgent priority in the next week or two.
So is your advice to government to de-escalate this diplomatic row?
Well, look, I mean, I wouldn't be giving the Conservative press and the Conservative Party ammunition. I don't think that's the objective here. I think the objective here is we have a policy outcome that certainly from Sinn Féin is desirable. I imagine the government would say that it's desirable that you can have a situation where people who would be applying for asylum here, that it wouldn't be valid, that they would be in a position to be returned. And again, I make the point that regardless of what kind of Brexit ended up happening, you would have to have a returns policy.
Okay. So you're saying
in Britain's long-term interest as well, Claire, to have a working relationship with the jurisdiction where there, where there is significant overlap in terms of migration and security.
Well,
so
ultimately,
I think in the longer run, it is in Britain's interest to cooperate.
As Mark Paul said to us earlier, ultimately, what they want is a returns deal with France. So they want this to be a wider issue. But you're saying we're playing their game by not having Helen McEntee at that British-Irish intergovernmental conference today.
Yeah, look, I think whatever row Britain has with France, that's a matter for them. Ireland and Britain have a common travel area. They have significant cooperation in terms of a wide range of migration issues, in terms of a wide range of security issues. I think it is important that there is an understanding and that there is a legal framework. There has to be a legal framework. I think it is possible to get to that mm-hmm. situation. But the first thing that needs to be fixed is legislation.
Okay.
It is the Irish High Court that decided that this isn't possible. So that needs to be rectified, and it is possible to rectify.
Okay, well, Mark, you said it might be the case that a row here suits all sides. I mean, we know our own local elections are on the horizon. And how much do you think the hardened stance from Ireland, the focus on our UK neighbours, could be influenced by this being a very topical issue at the polls?
Well, yeah, I suppose there's a questionnaire hovering in the background, which is what is the real reason or what is the actual proper reason behind the surge in migration numbers in Ireland? Is it actually down to Rwanda or is it down to failures in the Irish system itself? Now, if it is down to Rwanda, well, then obviously it's quite right and proper that the Irish government blames the British government or blames the situation in Britain for the rise in those numbers, that 80% rise in the figures. But if it's actually down to flaws in the Irish system, well, then, of course, look, it's convenient. It is convenient for Ireland to blame Britain. So, look, I don't know myself what is the real reason for the rise in those numbers, but I know this. Whatever about whatever legislative fix the Irish government comes up with, the Irish government cannot send refugees back to Britain unless Britain is prepared to accept them. And the British government is briefing on a background base at the moment. British government sources are briefing. We're not going to take them back until France takes our ones back. Okay. So there is, I think there's more politicking ahead in relation to this.
All right. Well, thank you both. That is Mark Paul and Donica O'Leary there from Sinn Féin. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.